I appreciate so much Greg's attitude and how he discusses the Bible, how he can keep this. We disagree on this subject. It's an important doctrinal difference, and it leads to things that will cause people to be saved or lost. It's very important. I wouldn't do this debate. But we understand it's an important doctrinal difference, Greg and I both, but he's able to keep all personal things out of it. We don't have a personal difference. We're friends. It's a doctrinal difference, and we're here to discuss the Bible. He's not going to talk about the warts all over my face or anything like that. Now, he first brought up about Augustine and Pelagius. As my friend here, Jeff, pointed out, we're not here to debate about Augustine and Pelagius, who was right and who was wrong. I doubt I would agree with either one of them on this or any of these related issues. Basically, if Pelagius said if Pelagius said this, that we can lift ourselves up by our own bootstraps, I know that was your words, but if he really taught that, then I very much disagree with him. When it comes to salvation, we've got to have the death, the blood of Christ, no doubt about that. We cannot lift ourselves up by our own bootstraps. And I don't know of any members of the churches of Christ that believe that. Also, as Jeff pointed out to me, this is not a debate on God's grace. Sola gratia, G-R-A-T-I-A, I'm glad he brought that up. We believe that we have to have God's grace. Now let me show you the difference between Greg and I on grace. It's not, we both believe in grace, but everybody turn to Joshua 6, and I'm going to use an Old Testament analogy. I could turn to a lot of New Testament passages, but at this time I feel like this is a good way to explain it to you. My God, surely everyone here knows the story of the taking of Jericho and the walls being knocked down. But you notice Joshua 6:2, the Lord said unto Joshua, "See, I have given into thy hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor." God said before they took the city, "I've given it to you." Now, given, that's basically grace. That's what grace is. God gives us something we don't deserve. God gave them the city. Now, Greg and I both believe that Christians, to be saved, have to take advantage of God's grace. They have to be given to them, the salvation, okay? The difference is I believe the salvation is conditional. The grace is conditional. This was grace. They received the city by grace, but did they get it without any conditions? No, they had to walk around the city for 7 days, march around. I believe it was 13 times, one time a day for 6 days and 7 times on the last day, blow some trumpets and so forth. So they received the city by grace, but it was conditional. When they walk around the walls, that didn't mean they earned it. They didn't knock the walls down by their own bootstraps. No, to do that, they would have to take a big sledgehammer out and beat and beat and beat and knock those walls down. They didn't do that. God knocked it down. He gave it to them. They still had to meet a condition, though. Walk around those walls for 7 days. That's the difference between Greg and I on salvation. Greg asked, he said, "I hope Pat believes in the doctrine of substitutionary atonement." I certainly do. We believe that. Jesus was the substitute for us. He atoned for us. That's what the atonement is. We believe that. We don't do it by our own bootstraps. Next, let's get to his main argument, Romans 5, 12 and following. It is an interesting passage. And this and perhaps one or two other passages are the ones used most frequently to try to prove this idea of original sin. I want you to notice the first verse that Greg read, and if you notice the first verse that he read out of Romans 5, verse 12, through the end of the chapter, that section, it refutes Greg's interpretation of the passage. It says, "Wherefore as by one man," that's Adam, "sin entered into the world, and death by sin," and I do believe that's talking about spiritual death, "we do suffer physical death as a consequence because of Adam's sin." This is talking about spiritual death. It says, "And death by sin, and so death passed upon all men." Why? Why did death pass upon me? Because of Adam's sin? No. It says, "For that all have sinned." This refutes Greg's position. This passage teaches my position. The reason I die spiritually is because of my sin. And this sets the stage for this whole section all the way out to the end of the chapter. Verse 12 and the context teach two indisputable facts. First of all, sin entered into the world through Adam. That's what it's saying. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So men die spiritually due to Adam's sin only in that he started it. He sinned, therefore he died spiritually. That opened the door for others to do the same. I'll say maybe later on the chart, I say he got the ball rolling. But they all die spiritually due to their own sin. That brings us to the second fact. Death, spiritual death, passes upon all men because all have sinned. So Romans 5, 12 through 21 blames Adam for the introduction of sin into the world, but puts blame on us for our own spiritual death. Do you see that? why did death pass upon all men? Why did death pass upon me? Was it because of Adam's sin? No. You might could say that in the sense, well, he got the ball rolling. He started it. And because sin entered into the world through him, I followed suit. I let him lead me into that. I followed his example. But the reason I die is sin. Because I sin, for that all have sinned. Now, Greg went through some other passages in the context. And there's very repetitious here in teaching the same thing, talking about comparing Adam to Jesus. I'm going to look at one of them that I think on the surface would be the strongest for his position and then explain that, and that'll take care of all of them. Okay? And that is verse 19. Let's look at that. It says, "For by one man's disobedience," that's Adam, "many were made sinners." Now I can see on the surface how somebody might think that's teaching that I'm a sinner, that I get spiritual death because of Adam. For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. But the way that is true is not because I inherited Adam's sin, it's because sin entered into the world and I followed suit. I followed his example. The reason I'm a sinner is because I sin. Remember verse 12? Death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. What Adam has to do with that is not because I inherit the guilt of his sin, as Greg is teaching, but it's because Adam, through Adam's sin, entered into the world. And then the rest of us followed his lead, followed his example. Verse 12 tells you that verse 19, a proper interpretation of it, is not what Greg's teaching. It says that all men, death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That's our position, but not my opponent's position. Now, I want to give you an illustration, a parallel of this to help you understand this. Now, most of us here are familiar enough with baseball to know who Jackie Robinson is. My boys, two of them, they like to have these either Andy Griffith or sports analogies in these debates, and so we're going to bring up a sports analogy. But for the 10% of you who don't know, Jackie Robinson was the first black baseball player. Before he came along, they would not allow blacks to play in the major leagues. A great travesty, we know, but I guess they just didn't know any better. But now they know better, and Jackie Robinson did a great service to all of us, and especially to the black community. He was the first one to break the color barrier. I grew up in the shadow of Alabama football. The first black they allowed to play in Alabama football received a scholarship in about 1969 or 1970. I'm not justifying that. That was a bad thing. That's just the facts of the case. Jackie Robinson was a little bit before this, I think in the late 50s, but I'm not sure about that. But I'm going to give a sentence the best I can to Romans 5, verse 12, and then verse 19. Let's look how it goes. "Wherefore, if by one man, black players entered into Major League Baseball," and that one man would be Jackie Robinson, "and big money to black Major League Baseball players." We do know it's big money, right? "And so big money passed upon all black Major League Baseball players, for that all black Major League Baseball players have played." Do you see how that's perfectly parallel to Romans 5, verse 12? Now, by that sentence, you wouldn't think that all black players inherited Jackie Robinson's salaries, would you? The salaries he got. You wouldn't think that, would you? You would think, yes, he got the ball rolling. He was the first black player. And because of that, the other blacks got to play. But why did they get paid? For their services, because they played. That's what it says. "For that all black Major League Baseball players have played." That's the reason they got the big money. Not because Jackie Robinson, only in the sense that Jackie Robinson played first, enabled them to come in, he got the ball rolling, then they came into baseball, but they didn't get his salaries. They didn't inherit his sin, we might say, referring back to Romans 5. They got big money because they played. And the reason they got to play is because he got the ball rolling. Do you see that? That's what Romans 5 is teaching. That's what it says. It doesn't say we inherited Adam's sin. It says sin entered into the world by Adam. And because of that, many were made sinners. Not that they inherited the sin, but because he got the ball rolling, we followed suit, we followed his example. And it says, "And so death passed upon all men, because all sin." That's what Romans 5, 12. Now let's look at verse 19, the parallel. This is as parallel as I can get with this illustration of verse 19. "For by one man's play," that's Jackie Robinson, "many blacks were made Major League Baseball players." So Jackie Robinson paved the way for other blacks by being the first. He got it started. He got the ball rolling. That's what this passage is saying about Adam. Adam paved the way for other people to sin by being the first to sin. He got it started. He got the ball rolling. But the Bible says we die spiritually, not because we inherit his sin, any more than black Major League Baseball players today inherit Jackie Robinson's salaries. They don't. Not because we inherited sin, because we sin. Those black players like Hank Aaron, he got those home runs. He got all the money he got because he played, not because Jackie Robinson did. Do you see the point? Now, if you really look at Romans 5, that's what it's saying. Let me repeat, verse 19. It says, "For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners." Verse 19. Not because we inherited Adam's sin, it's because we became sinners because Adam got the ball rolling. It says in verse 12, sin entered into the world through Adam, and we followed his lead and sinned ourselves. That's why we die spiritually. Does everybody see that? Now, in a debate, I'm not going to necessarily ask if you agree right now, but I really would rather not even move on unless you understand. I can't hope to convince you until you understand. I'm not going to stop, but if you don't understand that, I'm not asking if you agree, if you don't understand that, what I'm saying, please talk to me in the foyer after the debate, and I'll try to explain it better. Then once you understand it, then you can try to evaluate whether it's true or not. I believe it is true. All you got to do to understand that Greg's position on the chapter, the second part of the chapter is wrong, is read verse 12, the first verse in the section. Death passed upon all men because Adam sinned. No, because all had sinned. So I die spiritually because I sin. That's exactly my position tonight. Remember, I stated that in my proof text. For example, Ezekiel 18:20, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father. Greg's position is that the Son does bear the iniquity of the Father. Greg believes that I and Greg, we bear the iniquity of Adam. That Seth bore the iniquity of Adam. That Seth's son bore his iniquity or Adam's iniquity. But the Bible says the Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father. Neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him. The wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. Now, while we have a debate to hear both sides, it's Greg's responsibility to reply to these passages. And he will. He just hadn't had time yet. And once he replies, then I'll respond to his reply. Can everybody see why I believe that there's no such thing as original sin by that verse? You can see that. I think it's easy. If you just read this verse, you'd say, well, you know, Pat looks right. You would think I would be kind of ignorant to read this verse and say, no, the Son can bear the iniquity of the Father, wouldn't you? That would be kind of strange if I believed the very opposite of what God said, wouldn't it? But that's what Calvinism is. And I'm not faulting Greg. I believe that Calvinists, it doesn't mean they're dishonest when they believe something that's false. What is they've been trained to be wed to a system. They're loyal to this system of doctrine that Calvinism put together, TULIP. And they're wed to that, and so they're not free to accept just what the Bible says on these topics because they've got to try to fit it in to this system. Just like when the evolutionists, when they see some science that contradicts their position of evolution, they know it can't be creation. It can't be right because that means they would be responsible for all the fornication and adultery they're committing. So they say creation can't be right. Even though this looks like the earth's only been around for 7,000 or 10,000 years, we're going to have to force it to fit in the evolution theory. I'm talking about science. That's what I believe that Greg's doing. He's not dishonest. I just believe he's wedded to the system instead of what the Bible says. I encourage all of us here just to accept what God says, love him enough to keep an open mind, and I'll try to do the same thing because I can be wrong. I could even be wrong about this topic. It doesn't look like I am, but if I'm wrong, I'll change. I could be wrong about anything. The thing is that God is right. The Bible is right. Whatever it teaches is right. Get rid of all your preconceived ideas and accept what the Bible says. That's the only way to be saved. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Okay? You cannot separate believing in Jesus and believing in what he said and what he taught all throughout the scriptures. The other passage I brought up, one of the main passages, is Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 29. Now look at that. Can you see why, even you Calvinist friends, can you see why I believe what I believe by looking at that verse? God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. First of all, I could see that maybe somebody would think that was only talking about Adam and Eve, but we prove that's wrong because it's got the word they there. It's not just Adam. They sought out many inventions. It's not just talking about Adam and Eve were created upright, but they sought out one invention, that is, they ate of the tree of knowledge and good and evil. No, that's not it. It was many inventions, many sinful schemes, the New King James Version said. That's talking about all of us. We were all created upright. Upright means without any sin. That means no personal sin. That's obvious. We couldn't have committed personal sin when we were born. And without any original sin. If we had original sin, it could not be true that we were created upright. we would be created. Jeff, what would be an antonym upright? Not downright. What would it be, Jeff? Let's move on to the next chart. Greg, I would like you to answer this this particular concept when you have time. Did Jesus inherit sin? Now, Greg believes that every single person after Adam and Eve inherited Adam's sin, the original sin. Not all of his sins, just that one original sin. Well, Jesus is a person. He's a man. Yes, he started out as being God, and he didn't quit being God, but he took upon him the flesh of a man. The Bible says that as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2 verse 17, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. He was made like us, flesh and blood. He was tempted like as we are, meaning he could have sinned. Why didn't he commit original sin? I mean, why didn't he inherit original sin? He was made just like us. I would like to know that. The reason I would like to know that is not just because I'm curious, but because I really believe this question proves my position is true. Because we all know that Jesus didn't have any sin, else he couldn't have died for us. He didn't have any original sin. And when you turn that around and you see that he was made just like us, he didn't have any original sin, that would prove then that since he was made just like us, that we were made without any original sin. Do you see that? And that's very important. Because if Jesus had original sin, he couldn't have died for us. I think that's a pretty simple concept. I would like us to go look back at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Again, I'm repeating myself, but there are three key words here. Done, his, and body. We're going to be judged not based upon what Adam did in his body. I'm going to be judged based upon what Pat did in my body. Something that I do, remember the definition for sin we pointed out? Sin is something you do, it's a transgression. Not really something you can inherit. Not any more than Jackie Robinson inheriting the action of playing baseball, or the act of jogging, or the act of playing basketball. You might be able to inherit the ability to play those sports well, but you don't inherit the act of doing it. Those things are something that you do, not something that we inherit. Sin. My sin, his sin. I'm going to be judged based upon the things done in my body, not in Adam's body. And remember my point about it, the things done in my body. I'm not going to be judged based upon the fact that somebody is baptized for me 100 years after I'm dead. No, I'm going to be judged based upon the things done in my body. And likewise, I'm not going to be judged based upon something that somebody did thousands and thousands of years before I ever lived. Adam, sin, and eating of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I'm not going to be judged based upon that. I'm not going to be judged based upon Adam's sin according to this passage. Supposed inherited sin would not be something a person did in his body, would it? Well, therefore, I'm not going to be judged based upon it. God says that a person will be judged by the things done in his body. My opponent says we will also be judged by things done by someone else before he even had a body. And who do you believe? Now, Jeff, look at that the number of the last chart. I didn't quite get there. The list is right here. And to your left, at the very bottom, what's the number of that last chart on David's son? I didn't get through with that last. Five? There you go. Mike, how much time I have left? Okay, I didn't get to explain this because I ran out of time. I actually took the liberty of going over. Remember, David's son died because of David's sin. When he died, David made the comment that I shall go to him. Obviously, he's expecting to see his son in heaven. Now, Greg, I want you to answer, I guess it's one or possibly two questions. First of all, if he inherited original sin, David's son, it seems like to me the consistent position is he was going to the bad place. He would have, because the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. He never got forgiven for those sins. Never had a chance to. He died when he was an infant. But maybe Greg then has a way to get out of that and say, well, he's going to go to heaven based upon some other means. And that's fine. I still want to know, Greg, based upon how would you know David's son was going to heaven? Because according to the Calvinistic position, only the elect are going into heaven and the non-elect don't even have that chance. They don't have a chance to. How would David know that his son was of the elect? There's no way to know according to the Calvinist position. There would be no way to know, but David knew he would see his son in heaven. What does that mean? What does that prove? It proves then that David's son had no original sin. Therefore, the reason David's son was going to heaven is because he had no sin whatsoever, No original sin, obviously no personal sin. Greg would agree with that. Therefore, he was going to go to heaven because he had never been separated from God. Remember, your sin separates you from God. Isaiah 59 verse 2, that had never happened to him. Thank you very much for your time. Please give Greg your undivided attention.